And now, Don Blackwell.
Someone said, a man never stands so tall as when he is on his knees praying. I like that because it depicts a man who recognizes that he needs God. Secondly, it depicts one who sees the value of going to Him in prayer. And thirdly, it shows one who is following the example of Christ. You know, Jesus was one who prayed frequently and constantly. How does my prayer life compare with His? Friends, we find Jesus the night of His betrayal in the garden praying. Prior to choosing the 12 apostles, we find Him praying. Luke 6 and 12 says, "And it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray, and He continued all night in prayer to God." After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus was praying. Matthew 14 and 23 says, "He sent away the multitude and went up into the mountain apart to pray." Just prior to the transfiguration, Luke 9 and 28, He took Peter and John and James into a mountain to pray. Jesus always prayed, and He taught men to do the same. Luke 18 and 1 says, "And He spake a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint." The Apostle Paul wrote, "Pray without ceasing." 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. And friends, prayer is not just an exercise in futility. Prayer is powerful. James says in James 5 and 16, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Leonard Ravenhill, talking about the power of prayer, said, "One might estimate the weight of the world, tell the size of the celestial city, count the stars of heaven, measure the speed of lightning, and tell the time of the rising and setting of the sun, but you cannot estimate the power of prayer." Another brother said, "The great forces of the universe are the silent forces, such as gravity or light. It is also true of prayer. Though unseen and unpretentious, it is one of the mightiest weapons that the Almighty God has placed in the hand of man." We could easily spend our time today talking about the power of prayer and why it is that we don't spend more time on our knees praying. But that's not going to be our focus in today's program. Today we want to talk about powerless prayer. Oh yes, there's such a thing as that. There are times when prayers are vain and worthless. There are times when powerful prayer becomes nothing more than powerless pleading. Point number one today is this: prayer is powerless to the man living in sin, to the man who refuses God. Now, I know that would be a shock to the world, but the Scriptures abundantly teach it. Men have the idea that they can live in sin, that they can live in open rebellion to God, and then when they find themselves facing difficulties, they turn to God and cry out for help. Proverbs chapter 1 describes a person just like this. Listen to the words. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 24, says, "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all of my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke." Friends, verse 28 of that passage says, "Then shall they call upon me, and I will not hear them. The Lord said, calamity will come, but I will not answer." You see, the Lord is describing a situation where men will not hear His word. They will not answer His rebuke. They have no interest in the Lord. He said, "But when difficult times come, they will cry out." He said, "And I will not answer." Friends, I want to tell you today that prayer is powerless to the man who is living in sin. 1 Peter 3 and 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Proverbs 28 and verse 9 says, "That the man who refuses the law of God, that even his prayer is an abomination. Now, what's the reason for that? How could a man's prayer be an abomination to God? The reason is, Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Friends, sin separates man from God. Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous." And yet there are many people in the world today who do not understand this. They pray diligently to the Father in heaven, and yet they have never become God's children. They've never been added to the number of the righteous, Romans 5:19. And their prayers fall on deaf ears. I think one man put it well when he said this, "When a man refuses to hear God, how can he expect God to hear him?" Number two, prayer is powerless to the Christian who disregards the Word of God. David, who was a child of God, he wasn't a Christian because the Christian system had not yet come into existence, but he was a child of God under the Old Testament. David said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Psalm 66:18. Sometimes there are Christians, members of the Lord's church, who live in sin, and yet they want to approach God in prayer as if everything is okay. Sometimes they will ignore plain passages of the Bible, and then they come to worship God as if everything is all right in their lives. Let me give you an example. Matthew 5:22-23 says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has aught against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Now, we don't live in a day in which we offer gifts upon the altar. That was under the Old Testament system. But the point he is making is this. He's saying if your brother has something against you, you need to take care of it before you worship God. Leave your gift at the altar and go and reconcile with your brother. But sometimes Christians just ignore this and worship and engage in prayer and expect that everything is fine with God. Or maybe it's this. Maybe you haven't sinned against your brother. Maybe he has sinned against you. The Bible tells us what to do in this case also. Luke 17:3 says, "If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him." Sometimes we don't do that either. Sometimes we just want to pretend that it never happened, just let it go, and we don't want to forgive. Someone may say, "You don't know how bad he hurt me." And yet, we continue to come to worship and act as if everything is fine. We haven't forgiven our brother as the Lord commands us to, but we pretend that everything is okay with God. And we continue to pray to God, "Father, please forgive me of my sins." But friends, I want to tell you today that that is a powerless prayer, and it's a waste of my breath. Matthew 6:15 says, "If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." Number three, prayer is powerless when it is used as a substitute for effort, when it's used as a substitute for work. Listen to this, because it's very common. Oftentimes, men will pray a prayer, and they let that be a substitute for work. A man may pray, "Lord, help the gospel to go to the lost, help it to go into all of the world." And then that man makes no effort to carry the gospel. He makes no effort to take it. And he thinks that somehow he's fulfilled his obligation to the Lord. When in actuality, all he has done is say a vain prayer. Friends, the Lord teaches us to pray, but He also teaches us that we have to work. Take food, for example. The Bible teaches us to pray for our food, does it not? Matthew 6:11, we are to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And yet Paul said, "If any man will not work, neither should he eat." 2 Thessalonians 3:10. And so a man should pray, but he also must put forth the effort to get his food. Think also about purity. Sometimes men will pray, "Lord, help the church to be pure." And then he will ignore what the Lord tells us is necessary for purity. Friends, such makes a mockery of prayer. And that prayer is powerless, to say the least. Think also about the gospel. We pray, Lord, may the lost somehow have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Now, that's a proper prayer. Colossians 4, 2 and 3, Paul told the Colossian brethren to pray that a door would be opened so that they might speak the gospel. But still, after praying that prayer, they went and took the gospel. They carried it. The command exists for us to go into all of the world, to go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15 and 16. What I'm saying is this. There are three types of people. There are opportunity takers, there are opportunity breakers, and there are opportunity makers. An opportunity taker is one who will take an opportunity when it comes along. An opportunity breaker is one who, even when an opportunity arises, he ignores it. But an opportunity maker is one who goes out and seeks and makes things happen so that he can do what the Lord commanded him to do. And we need not only to pray for open doors, but also to go and to try to open them. Number four, prayer is powerless when a prayer is asked, not being in faith. Do we really believe in the power of prayer? Why is it that some prayers are not answered? I know that sometimes the will of God and the wisdom of God is such that a prayer, the Lord decides to answer no to our prayers. But could it be that sometimes our prayers are simply not answered because we ask not really believing, not really having faith when we pray? Friends, prayer without faith is a powerless prayer. In Matthew 21 and verse 22, our Lord taught, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." There's a story told about a family who had gone on a picnic during a very dry period, a drought, and they all sat down on the ground to eat. And before the meal, the father said the prayer for the family. And he asked, "Lord, give us the much needed rain." As soon as the prayer was over, his little son jumped up and started running toward the car. The father stopped him and said, "Son, where are you going?" The little boy said, "I'm going to get the umbrella." Now, friends, that's faith. But that's not always the way it's done. Sometimes we pray for rain and leave the umbrella at home. A faithless prayer is a powerless prayer. Listen what the Bible says about this. James wrote in James chapter 1, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." Now listen to verse 7. "Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." Friends, a lack of faith in prayer is a lack of trust in the Father. In 1 John 5 and 14, the Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him." Number five, prayer is powerless when prayer is done with the wrong motives. You know, this seems to be such an easy trap for men to fall into, to use prayer with the wrong motives. But when we do so, prayer becomes powerless. It becomes vain. One improper motive in prayer could be selfishness. James wrote in James 4 and 3, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may spend it on your own pleasures." There was a song written in the United States some years ago where the person asked, "Lord, won't you give me a Mercedes-Benz so that I can be like my friends?" Someone might say, "Well, that's just a song," but I suspect it's not very far from the prayers of many, where they're praying for physical things, like James said, that they may spend it on their own lust, on their selfishness. The great baseball catcher, Yogi Berra, was involved in a ball game in which the score was tied with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning. The batter from the opposing team stepped up to the batting box and made the sign of the cross on the home plate with his bat. Berra wiped off the plate with his glove, and he said to the pious batter, Why don't we let God just watch this game? You see, sometimes people let their personal interest influence their prayers. It's a prayer ask and selfishness. A second improper motive that might make our prayers powerless is pride, praying to be seen of men. In Matthew 6:5, Jesus said, "And when you pray, pray not as the hypocrites do, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Friends, regardless of how eloquent a prayer may be, if a person says it to be seen of men, that prayer didn't go any higher than the ceiling. The Lord said they have their reward. The praise of men is all the reward they receive. A third motive that will render a prayer powerless is pretense. Now that's very closely related to the one we just mentioned. In Mark 12:38-40, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." Friends, another thing that will make a prayer powerless is to ask a prayer not according to God's will. John wrote, "If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." But sometimes men will pray a prayer that is contrary to the stated will of God. And we have to understand that such a prayer is a powerless one. Maybe a loved one has died, having not obeyed the gospel. And a man may pray that the Lord will save that person anyway. But that's a vain prayer. It will not happen. It's not according to God's will. Maybe I'm a member of a denomination. I'm not a member of the one church that I read about in the New Testament. And someone may teach me the truth, but I want to stay in that denomination. I could pray from now until the judgment day that the Lord would save me and that denominational body. But such will not happen. You see, a prayer conflicting with the stated Word of God is a powerless prayer. I also want you to notice that prayer is powerless when it involves a sin unto death. Now listen to the text of 1 John 5:16. John wrote, "If any man sees his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it." Now there are two classes of people described in this verse. There is the person sinning a sin, not unto death. The text says it's appropriate to pray for the soul of such an individual as that. 1 Timothy 2:1-3 says that we are to pray for all men, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who would have all men to be saved. But there's another individual for whom it is a waste to pray. This is a person committing a sin, the text says, that is unto death. This sin unto death, John says, I do not say that he shall pray for it. You see, when a man constantly pursues the course of sin, then we have no need to pray for that man. When a man enters into sin knowingly, with his eyes wide open, alerting to all of its dangers, and he will not change, he persists in its evil, he has the knowledge that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and that the Bible says there's no need to pray for that man. You see, that prayer would be a powerless one. Friends, in prayer, there is pardoning power. There is enlightening power. There is comforting power. There is transforming power and enriching power. But that power is only available to those who conform to the will of God. Today, if you're not a Christian, you can't be one who prays to God and expect your prayers to be answered. But you can become a child of God, and you can avail yourself of all the power that is contained in prayer.